A contrite Paula Deen says, when those cotton balls get rotten, you can't pick very much cotton. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we keep it all in the family tree with actor Tom Bennett. Plus, we welcome a Queen City contestant to play the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the record holder in the Tour de Farce, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. Okay, now the same introduction without the applause.
Sorry. And now, the record holder in the Tour de Farce, it's Michael Feldman.
That's what I mean. Thank God we have that sign, as I like it. In the news that isn't, claiming she was misquoted, Ms. Deen then went on to say, Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. His dad says Ed Snowden wants his job back, an upgrade to GS-8, and a per diem for his stay at the Moscow airport. And a new headshot. That's non-negotiable. We need a new headshot, definitely. Lance Armstrong says it's impossible to win the Tour de France without doping, so no one will win today's Tour de France. Does explain why I've never won the Tour de France, because that and a lack of a bike, I think, are two factors. Still, you think it's got to be possible with the right dope. Armstrong believes that he's still the tour record holder and that he is irresistible to women. The 500th execution in the Right to Life state, Texas. Just the facts, ma'am. Governor Rick Hangham High Perry explains the right to life expires at birth. Little slap on the behind, and you're on your own. That's all we can do for you, kid. Roger Federer loses at Wimbledon after his flubber shoes are banned. The Supreme Court ends its historic session with the Justices Scalia and Roberts hand in hand. Not all sunshine, though, as the Voting Rights Act is now the Voting Wrongs Act. All because no one had the heart to tell Clarence Thomas he is black. While President Obama travels in Africa, Jamie Foxx slips into the White House. And the White House is down with that. Paula Deen has offered to cater for the Obamas for the remaining 3 years. Preparations. Voyager 1 has second thoughts about leaving the solar system, heads back, while the 700,000-year-old gray mare ate what she used to be, her genome is, so it's not possible to clone one swayback old nag. Okay, I'll take it out. 700,000 shades of gray, that old mare. Yeah, oh, think about it. Thank you. Fed Chief Ben Bernanke to be replaced with George Zimmer, formerly of Men's Warehouse. I think he'll do a good job. Snowden trade for Yakov Smirnov in the works. The Russians want him back. And we're okay with that, yes. Snowden was spotted returning carts for deposit at Moscow International. That deserved something more than it got. If the UAE buys the Empire State Building, it will be the United Arab Emirates State Building, which is pretty cool if you think about it. Breastfeeding said to boost the ability to social climb and to open a beer bottle with your teeth. What? Paula Deen tapped for 50 shades of gray, blue, yellow, and pink. her hair, you know. Okay, and the Pittsburgh Pirates with the best record in baseball, seen by many theologians as the opening of the seventh seal of the apocalypse. That's all the news that is in. No one the Cubs can beat anymore. It's a sad day for mankind. Do we have Pirate fans in the house? Okay, that's good. No, I mean, that's not good. I mean, they're good people, too, in their own way. Tom Bennett is one of the stars in the new Family Tree on HBO. Have you seen it yet?
Yes,
it's a great show. And he plays the friend. You know, I suspect he always gets roles where he is the friend, but we'll find out from him. He's with us now in the middle of the Sussex countryside. Tom Bennett. Hey, Tom, how are you? Hi, Tom Bennett.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Are you actually in the countryside itself?
I am actually in the Sussex countryside itself. It's exactly what you'd expect the English countryside to look like.
Well, as you look around, what do you see?
Rolling hills, lots of trees, beautiful clouds, and gorgeous sun.
Ah. Do you have badgers there? Do you have badgers there? I know there's a badger problem.
We do have badgers. They're very dangerous. You try and avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. Where do they appear?
They're vicious.
They appear at intersections and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Are they unafraid of people, of English people?
Yeah, the foxes. Foxes are the ones that are really unafraid.
Yeah.
They'll go through your bins, they'll get into your house, they'll sleep in your bed if you let them.
Ah. The badgers stay outside, though.
Yeah, the badgers don't like indoors, but the foxes are very homely animals.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay. Hard to believe you play a zookeeper on this show and you have such low opinions of animals.
Well, who knew we'd get onto animals so quickly? Yeah.
But do you have those hedges there? What kind of, do you have hedgerows?
Yes, hedgerows and like nice kind of fences. I'm just currently sitting under a tree as it's the only spot I can get reception.
Oh, that sounds so idyllic.
It is pretty idyllic, and there's a 4-year-old's birthday party going on next door. So it's all go here.
It is, and you just had a baby. Is that true?
Well, I did. Yes, I have a 9-week-old baby girl.
Fantastic. Tom Bennett has had a baby girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's funny because your character. What was that? What's his name?
Pete Stupples.
Yeah. Did that episode where he wanted a baby really badly.
That was a very interesting day because Christopher Guest had given me something, you know, he placed something else in my brain to think about. Mm-hmm. And then 30 seconds before we shot that talking head to camera, mm-hmm. he kind of came over and just went, yeah, no, forget that. Do something else about fatherhood. So that kind of talking head and monologue literally was just, it was me imagining what it's going to be like for me to actually be a dad. It all came from quite a good place.
Yeah, you know, and we have a little piece of that. Would you mind if we played it from the...
Please, it'll be terribly embarrassing for me, but please do.
Right, come on in, Taurus. Step one, impregnation, getting you in the mood.
For love making. Oh, look at her. Eh? You know she's got a really long neck and little short, stubby legs and a great big arse.
I don't know what's up with Taurus. And he might not be ready to be a dad. Do you know what? If someone was... Because I was there watching him, telling him to get hard, and that's an added level of pressure and anxiety that no bloke... needs, and no one wants that to happen. But imagine being a dad, how cool would that be? I'd love to be a dad. I've got to find the right girl first. None of the girls I'm seeing at the moment they're not mother material. One of them is a mother, but hers are like 16 and 18. I met her at an over 40s night in Catford, and she's a terrible mum. Actually, so none of the ones I'm seeing would be. But if I meet the right girl, I'm happy to have a baby, and it'd be a little bait, and I'd wear it on a papoose, and then I'd push him on the swings and the roundabouts. Then I'd have a go because I still love playgrounds, especially when drunk.
So was that all improvised then?
Yeah, can't you tell?
Oh, I think
it's awful.
No, I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Well, to explain to your listeners, the top end of that sequence, I am trying to artificially inseminate an alpaca.
Yes.
At the zoo. So that.
I thought that was obvious. Maybe it wasn't. To everyone.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you can see what you're looking at. Okay. Great. Good. Good.
It was a brilliant moment for Stupples, I would say, for Pete.
I think it's one of his finest moments. Yeah.
But for the scene itself, you were just told to talk about the alpaca, or
yes. So we knew I was artificially inseminating an alpaca, and that wasn't going too well. And then at the 11th hour, Christopher Guest just said, "Okay, just talk about how you'd like to be a dad for 5 minutes," and that's what happened.
Yeah, and you know we used that bit at the end of it. At least we did a Father's Day show where. It's supposed to be guys who were at the point where they wanted to have a baby. They hadn't had a child yet. You know, guys wanting babies, and we got some very strange results, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not quite Pete Stupples. It was a little darker.
But, oh, dear, it got dark. Right.
So, you know, I love Phone Shop.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's a brilliant show. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's an awful lot of fun to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a writer on that as well?
Well, it's semi-improvised. So our creator, Phil Bowker, will write a script, and then we'll go into a room together for 6 weeks, and we'll get it up on its feet, and we'll workshop it, and then we'll throw the scripts away and kind of improvise around it. So by the time we come to shoot it, we know it back to front, and we've added our little ticks, and we've put it into our own words. So, yeah, it's a very... workshop and improv-led show. Yeah.
And you were on the EastEnders, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've done EastEnders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
still.
If you're, any, if you're any kind of actor in England, you have to have been on EastEnders at least once.
Who did you play on that?
I played a bit of a tow rag called Steve, who got a character named Bradley into trouble with his girlfriend by taking him to a strip club.
Oh, okay.
So I was a bit of a wheeler dealer, you know, a bit of a boy in a suit.
Yeah, is that what a tow rag is then, a wheeler dealer?
Essentially, it's a nice word for the ruder versions of what he actually is.
Yeah, cool.
But tow rag is a nice way to put it.
I wonder why some of those phrases never came over.
I know some of them don't translate, do they?
No,
they don't quite have the impact you'd like them to.
Yeah, and it happens somewhat in Family Tree as well, especially when you are speaking.
Yes, I can well imagine that lots of the audience don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah,
but that adds to it for us because we love.
Well, you hope that adds to the kind of quirky fish out of water nature of the piece. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so working with Christopher Guest, and that must be quite a treat.
I mean it's a dream come true. Is he one of my heroes? But you know he's my hero's hero. He's the man. He's the godfather of improvisational comedy. So to get to spend 8 weeks working with him is an absolute joy that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and Chris O'Dowd as well, I would say.
Oh yeah, O'Dowd's brilliant. He's exactly what I think you'd want Chris O'Dowd to be like in real life. You know, a larger-than-life, charming, loud, charismatic Irishman. No, yeah. it was great working with both the Chrises. They're both brilliant.
He's funny. Isn't this character so funny? Because he's smart and stupid at the same time, almost simultaneously.
I respect him a lot because it's a very difficult balance to get right. I'm quite lucky in that Pete is just an idiot.
He's an idiot.
He's just an idiot. There's no middle ground with him. There's no grey areas.
Right.
It is black and white with him. He's an idiot.
Right.
Whereas, Chris has a lot more of a balancing act to do. So, yeah, he's got a tough job.
I have to say, you did one of the best walking into a pole things I've ever seen.
That really makes me feel good because I am a big, big fan of pratfalling and tripping over. My dad used to do it for a living.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a children's entertainer over here telly on the BBC in the 80s. Oh. And pretty much for 10 years, he made a living tripping over in the back of shot and having paint pots fall on his head and walking into door frames. So I'm very pleased that you spotted that and you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you and Chris, or whatever his character is called, we're walking down the street, and you were in mid-conversation of making some ridiculous statement and walked...
Oh, ridiculous.
Smacked into a pole without, you know, it was perfect because you knew...
I was very pleased with it.
Yeah.
You never quite know how pratfalls are going to go, but yeah. that was a nailed one. I pretty much got that.
First,
and I bump into the tree and then kind of stumble off the curb as well.
Yeah.
So you got double impact.
Yeah. Did you have to retake that at all, or is that a first take?
We did it a couple of times. I think we only Christopher only tends to do three takes of anything. But I banged into the tree three times, but that was obviously the best one, which probably was the first one, to be honest.
Yeah, and then boxing with a child.
yeah.
That can't be
boxing
an easy...
with a child. That's the title of my autobiography. boxing with a 12-year-old child.
That can't be an easy scene to do, really.
It's not an easy thing. Well, the interesting thing is that the child I was boxing is a professional boxer. this was only his second acting job, but he'd been a boxer for 6 years. So he couldn't quite understand throwing your punches.
Yeah.
So I got hit a couple of times.
So he wasn't holding back. He really hit you.
He was not holding back. Yeah. They're bullshit at that age, and they want to prove their dominance, and he did on several occasions.
Yeah.
So the shots that you used, there probably was contact made.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, as long as they get the shot, I'm happy for it to go in.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Have you did you box at all as a youth?
I've never boxed.
No.
I've never boxed. In the same way Pete has never boxed, but likes to think of himself as a bit of a mixed martial artist.
Yes, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the pantomime horse. Now, first of all, is there such a thing as pantomime animal races in England?
Well, it's exactly the sort of thing that there would be in England, actually. I've never attended one, but I can well imagine they exist. And probably sell out. We do have a glorious tradition of pantomime in this country,
mm-hmm.
And it is the pinnacle of any British actor's career to play the front or back end of a pantomime horse.
Yeah, either one will do.
Yeah, either one. Yeah, we're not fussy.
And you know the show itself is he's searching for his family tree. Basically, that's what the show is about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which takes him to America. And America is okay, but the stuff in England, I think, is the best.
Yes. Well, that's very sweet of you to say. Because in a couple of weeks it will come over here.
Yeah.
And so I think that the English audience will have the opposite view of we've seen the English stuff. We want to get to America and we want to see LA and we want to see Native Americans and we want to see Civil War reenactments. So I think it's great. I think it's great that both countries get to see both countries.
Yeah. Well, I love Ed Begley Jr. He's great.
I mean, I've had it's been such a privilege to... That was one of the scariest things, is thinking, I'm going to be in a scene tomorrow that's got Christopher Guest in it, Ed Begley Jr. in it, Fred Willard in it, and then Bob Balaban's coming along. And, these are the Harlem Globetrotters of improvisational comedy. These are the big boys. So it's quite scary.
Yeah, the whole gang.
Yeah, God, yeah. He's got a lot of his gang in there, and they're the best. They're the best in the biz. So it's an honor to play alongside them.
Yeah. Did you have to study the pantomime horse routine, or is that just came to you?
I've been studying the pantomime horse routine for 33 years now. it's something they teach at school. It's vital.
Yeah. Because his great-grandfather, I believe, was the back end of a pantomime horse.
Yes, he was the rear ender.
Yeah, a rear ender, and but you got to be in the front end, so that's a little.
Different. I did. I got to wear the big head, which was a lot of fun. Incredibly difficult to see where you're going or hear anything.
No.
But hopefully the results are on screen.
Yeah, the race is hilarious, actually.
With the race is great. The race was a lot of fun.
Little panda taking it, I think. Or the giraffe.
I know. And there was a giraffe there.
There was a giraffe.
There was one man in a giraffe's outfit running on two legs. How is that fair? It's not fair.
It's not fair at all.
I think Usain Bolt was in the giraffe outfit. So how will me and Chris ever meant to compete?
Impossible. The backstory between the two of you, now you are very close friends, but it's not clear why you would be exactly.
I can imagine a lot of people saying, why is he friends with him?
Yeah. What is the backstory?
There is a backstory. They met when they were very, very young. Mm-hmm. And Tom, who is Chris O'Dowd's character, unfortunately, he had a bit too much fizzy pop and he wet himself at primary school.
Oh.
And everyone took the mickey out of him and ridiculed for him, even the teachers. But then I came along and I said, it's all right, mate. I do it all the time, sometimes on purpose. Nah. And that is where the friendship was formed.
That cemented it.
A bond that cannot be broken.
Yeah. Did you say it took...
Even though he then goes off to Ireland for 9 years.
Yeah. It took the mickey out of him, is that what you said?
Yeah, taking the mickey.
Yeah.
Taking the Michael, yeah.
How, in what sense? I mean, where does that come from?
Mocking someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taking the mickey, as in mocking.
Extracting the urine.
All right, so they're close friends. And then in the show itself, he mainly messes things up for his buddy and sets him up with girlfriend, with dates.
Oh, yeah. Sets him up on terrible, terrible dates.
They're some of the worst dates I've ever seen, but they're hilarious.
Oh, they're so awfully cringeworthy.
Yeah.
I can barely watch them.
Yeah. The girl who...
You know, they're both pretty girls, but, oh, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah. The girl who likes bones.
Oh, the clavicle, salt in the clavicle girl. Yeah, terrible.
They're at dinner and she says, you know, look at my... She's in, loves bones, the shape of them, finding them. Getting them for free when you get chicken.
Yeah, she gets really...
I love that.
She really likes bones.
Yeah, she's great. And then, the question is, how does he get these women?
How does Pete have contact with women? Yes, Pete meets a lot of girls via the zoo. There's a lot of girls go to the zoo. There's a lot of single mums go to the zoo. And basically... He sits at the front turnstile, the front gate, and sees which ones he likes. And then if they're not quite up to scratch, he'll pass them straight on to Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you at all worried about being typecast now as a Stupples?
Yeah, I do a fine line of lovable idiots. it does seem to be a niche I'm carving out for myself, lovable idiot. But hey, there are worse jobs. And there are worse roles to be had than lovable idiot.
Yeah. Have you had those
two? I do a great psychopath as well.
A psychopath?
Yeah. The double side of the comedy and the tragedy.
Oh, no kidding.
But yeah, I love doing comedy.
Yeah.
And actually, I love playing idiots. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I get a lot of fun out of it.
And of course, you are associated with the Peugeot 208.
Yes, the Peugeot 208. One of my finest adverts.
What did you do?
That was great. That was a lot of fun.
What did you do with that? We didn't get that ad here. I don't think we had.
No, don't get it. So I play quite a timid character, and his doorbell goes at night, and he opens it, and there's a large what looks to be a Persian rug, and he drags it in, and he cuts it open, and out of this Persian rug jumps his doppelganger, his double, his evil twin. And so I get to play both sides of the same coin. I get to play a very nervous, shy character and this wildly outgoing idiot who gets the normal guy in a lot of trouble with girls. So yeah, there is a theme here, isn't there?
There seems to be.
If anyone's paying attention, there is a theme.
Yeah. Is that how you were trained at Guildford or
I trained at Guildford, Guildford School of Acting. Yeah, it was a great place to.
Were you trained as a serious actor, or?
Well, the thing with most drama schools is they mainly teach you straight acting for theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend 3 years of your life, training to do Chekhov and Shakespeare and these quite serious, gritty theatrical pieces, and then you come out of the other side and the first job you get's on television and it's a comedy, and suddenly you're kind of making it up as you go along.
Yeah.
But I think you tend to fall into the skill set that naturally suits you best.
Do you like doing more serious roles, or is that, you know, a lot of comic actors probably do?
I think most actors love their job, and I love my job so much. I'm happy to do anything. I kind of get paid to do what used to be a hobby for me. So it's pretty good. I'll do anything. I just like working.
Yeah.
They don't even have to pay me that much, to be honest.
So you're willing to take the mickey, is what you're saying?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I think as an actor, you have to be. I think as an actor, if you take yourself too seriously as an actor, I think you're in a lot of trouble. You're setting yourself up for a fall.
A pratfall. You probably haven't been at the Actors Studio yet, but I'm sure you will be. But I thought, can I give you a few of the questions that you're going to get?
Oh, God, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's exciting, because
yes.
I do watch it. And
okay.
In the back of my head, I go, oh, maybe one day.
Yeah.
This is it now.
This will be prep for that. Because when you
okay,
come,
good.
Then you'll have something to say when he asks you. What is your favorite word?
Plonk is good.
Okay. What is your least favorite word?
Can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What turns you on?
Doing what I love doing.
And what turns you off?
What turns me off? Oh.
Good thing we're practicing, because this could it's not look good on the show. So.
Yeah, this is just dead air now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
At the Actors Studio, you don't want to do this.
Yeah, he wouldn't let me have dead space, would he?
No. Say anything. What turns you off?
Rubber.
Rubber.
Yeah.
Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
At the moment, I love the sound of my baby girl gurgling and making happy noises.
Okay. What sound or noise do you hate?
Her crying.
Okay. What is your favorite curse word within the parameters of public radio listenership?
Yeah, my favorite curse word is in no way in the parameters of public radio.
All right.
There's two of them, and I couldn't tell you either.
Okay. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I always quite like the idea of architecture.
Have you studied for that at all?
I did graphical communication when I was a 16-year-old boy, which is kind of technical drawing. So it was kind of going that way.
Yeah. What profession would you not like to do?
Probably telesales.
Okay.
I don't think I'd be very good at that. No.
And finally, this is a killer one. This is when you got to, so there's a good chance to get this one here. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well done. You did a pretty good job down there. Overall, quite impressed.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Bennett in the middle of the Sussex countryside. Very nice to talk
with
you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank
love
you
the show.
Me.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. It's great to be in the States, even though back on just the phone. But thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tom Dennett, and we leave him in the middle of the Sussex countryside there, fending off the badgers and foxes and whatever have you. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the show, you got to watch it. It's very funny. Everybody's funny on it. He's great. He's the perfect idiot friend. He is.
The idiot and the psychopath. That's
great. Yeah, lovable idiot friend. You know, I mean, he just does everything wrong. And
you got to check
wrong.
That out. Yeah,
that's great. All right there. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Yeah.
Are you getting a little flooded there in Chicago?
Some of the rivers are, yeah. Not really near me.
I mean, your basement. I don't care about the rivers.
Well, it flooded a couple months ago, but no, I'm good.
You're okay now?
Yeah, I think I'm okay now.
Okay, you're lucky. Okay.
Everything's been ruined, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Good attitude. I like it.
Pre-ruined.
All right. And yours too, Jeff?
He's got some leaks, I think.
You said you had some leaks.
That's in my roof.
In your roof. Yeah, that's where they occur usually.
Right, but it doesn't.
Doesn't happen every time, just when it rains. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
I know.
Maybe there's a window open or something up there. Did you look up there? No?
We've looked into that. It's not.
Okay, well, it's a mystery then. It's a mystery. While we're thinking about that, what's this tune coming?
This is a little, real nice Cole Porter tune called Dream Dancing.
Dream Dancing.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
We did it. Okay. All right. Here I am. How are you? That's good. Oops, pardon me. Oh, that was just me. I tripped over. Now, I noticed, Aubrey, why are you walking backwards with the camera in your hand? You were keeping with the music. It's like you are musical, right?
Indeed.
And how so?
I played it all through grade school and high school, and I really like it a lot now.
What do you play?
Guitar at this point.
Yeah, at this point? Earlier points you played other?
It was a euphonium in the band.
Euphonium?
Low brass.
Low brass. Then you went string. What happened?
I like the sound of an acoustic guitar, I guess.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you lost the taste for the euphonium?
Oh, no, my son still plays it.
Yes, but that's your son.
He is. No.
Are you in euphonium right now?
Every once in a while, when I get home.
Got that from your dad?
Yeah.
So there's a gene for that, euphonium gene?
I think so.
And you are?
Tom Sigler.
Okay, and you're?
Bob.
Bob, of course, we can't forget.
Sharon.
The Siglers?
Indeed.
Yep. The Siglers, ladies and gentlemen. A musical family. We love that. They love music. And Kevin Nice is here, wanting to know who is Sweet Pea's father. Popeye or Brutus? Or Wimpy? Wimpy would be the long shot. I would say, why do you even care, Kevin? Where are you, Kevin?
Pluto.
Huh?
Pluto.
Pluto?
Pluto diet.
I don't think so. Who's Sweet Pea? Yeah, who's the mother? But she's single.
Oh,
what?
Boy.
It's her niece. Her niece. What? Know who the mother is, even?
No.
This is a bigger mystery than we even thought when we opened this can of worms, this can of spinach. Did you ask this question?
Yes, I did.
What's the matter with you?
I have no idea. It's one of those things that make you go, hmm.
Stand up here for a second. Let's see what kind of person asks a question like this. Are you an old a Popeye fan? Wait, they're over here if you want to see.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I used to watch Popeye when I was a young kid growing up. Sure.
The old ones were good. When they actually used to draw them, you know?
Oh, I don't think I saw those. I don't think I went that far back, but...
Okay, I don't know why. I must have seen it somewhere. I don't know where I saw it then. That's okay. And Wimpy, and do you have a favorite character? Or?
Brutus. I like Brutus.
You do?
Yeah. He was kind of the manly man.
But he was mean.
Big and straight. That part I didn't like.
Mean, awful, and beat up everybody.
But in the end, he got beat up by Popeye all the time, right? He didn't like spinach, and I guess I didn't like spinach either.
Have you ever done therapy or anything? Talk about some of these prototypical images that are locked deep inside you?
I think I got rid of that a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We got, you must be Hannah then.
Yeah.
All right. Hannah, is this your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, on occasion.
You seem reluctant to admit that.
So they tell me.
It says go to school when asked what you did. Go to school? I know it's a question mark there.
Well, I'm 14. I don't have a job.
Okay. But why the question mark? You're not sure you go to school?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Yeah. Hey, where do you go? You go to Wanakee?
Yes.
Fighting?
Warriors.
Warriors. Your question disturbs me a little bit.
I wanted to know why men have nipples.
Yes. Just to break up the hair, I think, is a little change in topography, I think.
If you went to eighth grade health, you'd want to know that, too.
Yeah. Did you have to take eighth grade health?
Unfortunately.
Yes. Did you find it helpful or healthful?
disturbing, mostly.
I know. We had a something called hygiene in my day.
We don't have that.
I was afraid to ask what it was. How many of you had hygiene? Do you have hygiene class? What was that? We had an ancient woman gym teacher teaching us hygiene. It was like pre-sex, you know, I think. And we didn't talk about anything much except how to wash yourself. I don't know if there was a washcloth involved or something. So it could have been worse.
Yeah, it does get worse.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you. The nice family.
Thank you.
Nice family. Nice to meet you. The nice family. Thank you for coming. Nice to have you here. With all the rain we're having, why doesn't my grass grow? Ah, you know, watercress, Peter. You gotta go to watercress now. Where's Peter? Canaan. Did it phonetically. Okay. Not worth the trip, is it? Did you want to talk to me?
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to discuss lawn care or anything. Have you got anything else for me? Come on, Pete, stand up here. Defend your grass. What's it doing now? It's been drowned all this time?
I plant grass, it rains, and the grass seed goes away.
Okay. Just don't plant it. Eventually it will all dry out and something will grow there. That's my theory on lawns. You know.
I don't like mud.
Okay.
I want grass.
Okay. Sorry, I can't help you. Wrong show. Nice talking with you. Anyhow.
Thank you, Michael.
Trip all the way over to this side. He wants grass. You know what? We're going to go to the What Do You Know quiz. Now, I'm not saying that he drove me to it, but I'm saying that we should probably do that. And if I could meet you over at the aisle here, because we have to find out who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Legally, we are enjoined to do this, and we must therefore do this. And you are?
Sue Merman.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're from around here? Good. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm from Virginia.
Oh, yeah. From around here in Virginia. Okay. Sue, give this to you. Get
okay.
out of your way.
Okay, the four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Well, I'm thinking of stocking my basement with trout. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Good mic technique, by the way. Very professional. Who's done that before, you can tell. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. No, stop clapping for a minute. Turn the sign off. You want to play the quiz? Let's see. There you go. See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, come on down here. That was very quick. So you're a little late. I got somebody. You got to react. It's very important to react. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And you are?
Laura Dixon.
Laura?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great.
You're fine, and you asked me how I was.
I'm pretty excited.
Okay, me too. Laura, and where are you from, Laura?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, Cincinnati, Ohio. Beautiful Cincinnati. Laura, you got to give me one good reason to play the quiz, and you're in.
Because the only reason that we're here today is because we wanted to see your show and play the quiz.
Holy cow! Can you think of a better reason than that? Come on down here. Or come on up here. Well, down and up. Yeah, step right up there, Laura. Have a seat there if you would, next to the emu. They're very nice. You can buy those if you want a stuffed emu. We just had, I don't know how we got it in the first place, but we do have it, so we use it. How are you? Pretty good then, huh?
I'm good.
You're
thank
still
you.
Good since we met earlier? Okay, Laura, the usual way. Spelled
L-A-U-R-A.
Yeah, well, very good. So what are you doing these days in Cincinnati?
I work at the University of Cincinnati.
Oh, you do? What do you do for them?
I'm a paper pusher.
Paper pusher?
Yes.
Any particular papers you push? Or?
I manage the graduate program for one of the departments in the College of Medicine.
And what do those papers say then that you're pushing? Is that
they say
applications?
Ah, you have achieved candidacy, or you need to work on this, or you know.
Oh, so you're really the person to know.
Yes.
Okay. So if you want to know the person, you want to get into all graduate programs at Cincinnati?
No, just one department.
Oh, which department is that?
It's molecular genetics.
I could do that. Piece of cake.
My son is much more interesting. He's finishing his MA in applied economics this summer. Yes!
Yes, applied economics.
Yes! Yes.
Now go out there and apply those economics, young man. So where did he get that from, that interest?
I used to be in the Department of Economics.
Oh, you did? Were you pushing paper in economics, too? Or?
I was. It was a really fun place.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the crash came, right?
I just had a better offer.
From molecular, what is it, pharmacology?
Genetics.
Genetics. Why is everything pharmacology? I don't know why. It ends up being pharmacology, doesn't it?
Some yeah, point. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a background in that, in the genetics?
No, actually, but no. I've learned a lot about it since I've been there.
Picked up quite a few
things.
I
can tell you all about, you know, cells called JURCATs.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. J-U-R-K-A-T, JURCAT.
Okay. Tell me about them.
Oh. Well, it's an artificially created cell, and they use that to see what they can do to zap cancer.
Oh, how interesting. And that goes on in Cincinnati? Is that a big...
In my department.
Area. Mm-hmm. Naturally, in your department.
And they also work
in the English
on something
department,
called
probably very little interest.
Shigatoxin. Shigatoxin is one of the things that causes diarrhea.
That's a Yiddish word. Not with the shigatoxin. Stop with the shigatoxin.
Don't stop kvetching, right?
Yeah, stop kvetching about the shigatoxin. And that causes...
diarrhea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, very nice. Laura, someone out there plays along with you, and you know this works. It's cooperative.
Yeah.
We have various categories, as you'll see. And how does that work then, Sarah?
People who want to play, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669.
Okay.
And you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, here it is. In what part of the U.S. is a sweetened carbonated beverage called a Coke? Now, we have soda, we have pop. In one part of the country, they're not called soda or pop. They're called Coke. So give me a, that means any sweetened carbonated beverage. What part of the country does that occur in is what we want to know. We go to the phones now. Tom's in Red House, Virginia. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. See if you can tell me this, Tom. What part of the country is a sweetened carbonated beverage called a Coke?
I would say the South.
Yes, that's it. It's too easy, isn't it? I don't know. And you're in Virginia. It's really not fair. You should ask someone from up north.
Well, actually, I am from up north.
Oh, you are? Where are you from?
I'm from Jersey Shore.
Oh, you are? And you're down in... Yeah. Are you living down in Virginia now?
Yeah, now we're living down here.
Oh, interesting. Tom, this is Laura. She's your partner in this.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Laura.
So if JURCAT comes up, you're in business. Okay, two of you are a team. General knowledge, you know how it works, Tom?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. And then we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tom, you pick the first one.
Science.
Science it is. Okay. Let's see, JURCAT. No. Babies know what's going on with other babies. At what age? In other words, they can read their emotions of another baby. At what age? Is it 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months?
Laura?
Get sort of empathetic.
I'm thinking about 6 months, maybe.
Hmm. I'm kind of leaning that way.
Okay. So should we say that?
Yes.
Laura?
Okay. 6 months is right. Exactly. On the money. And at 7 months, they can duplicate adults' emotions. So that's pretty good. They can mimic emotions at 7 months. Yes.
One right, zero wrong.
Nice.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Laura, what do you have?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. New fertility treatment. No, you don't want that. Okay. No, you don't want that. So, can we use our electronic devices or not on board the plane right now?
No.
Still no?
Oh.
Agree, Tom?
I just flew back from China.
The plane is in the air.
You just flew back from China?
Yeah. No.
Were you allowed to use your electronic device?
Well, I guess that's after you were in mid-flight and they said it was okay at some point,
But you still can't use them other times.
Right.
Okay. She says no.
I agree.
Yes, no, but no. No is yes. They're supposed to change that, but it hasn't happened yet.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, you're really on a roll here. What's left there?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Tom?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything. How was Homo erectus' fastball? Hello, Tom, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Laura, Homo erectus, did he have a good fastball?
Sure.
Sure?
Oh, no.
Or, no, I'm just saying, you seem pretty certain of it. I don't know, Tom, you want to weigh in on this? This is recent.
What do you mean, in accuracy or in...
I mean, even having one. Good. Did he have a good fastball or not? Or did he rely too heavily on his slider?
Maybe his arms weren't very good yet.
This is a recent discovery. They found some bones, and they found the articulation of the bones, and it seems that it would affect a fastball. And I want to know, what did they find?
He had a slider. Laura,
you're making a lot of faces at me.
I don't know what that means.
You like me or what?
If that's my baseball kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he had a good fastball.
No, you're not.
A bad fastball.
No, you're not. You're not going to say
he
that.
He had a bad fastball.
You are not going to say that. Is she, Tom?
He had a bad, tough fastball.
Let me ask you, could he throw a fastball if he had to save his life from love or money?
I don't think so.
Huh?
I agree with
that. Put a different way? Yeah. Yes, that's right. No, he couldn't. He couldn't throw a fastball. The articulation, he could throw a changeup. That's all he could do. He got a changeup because of the way this was attached here. Well, that's unbelievable. They have won the quiz.
They have, in fact, won, yes.
You seem sad about it.
Well, no, it's that I'm on pins and needles about whether or not they're going to go for the mother load.
You're on pins and needles?
I am, in fact.
Oh,
it's very uncomfortable.
So you're saying that they could quit here and they'd be content with whatever you'd give them.
That's right. They'll be content with whatever I give them regardless, but they could go on and risk it all for the mother load.
That's kind of your mantra, isn't it?
Yes.
In general.
Yeah.
What do you say, Laura? Let's go for it?
Yeah!
Yeah.
Okay. Did you just get off the flight? Are you still readjusting?
I'm sleep deprived. We got here at 3 o'clock in the morning, Cincinnati time.
Really? When?
This morning, 3 o'clock our time.
From
2
China?
O'clock. No. But my son came back from China on the 26th,
okay,
2 days ago.
But you're going for it. You got to get this right. If you get it right, you win everything practically we have. Get it wrong, you go home with nothing except memory, fond memories. So what's left as far as categories go?
They are people, places, or things you should have learned in school.
Okay, and then is it back to Tom then?
Yes,
no,
I believe
so.
Miss Laura? Yeah.
Places.
Places, okay. Let's see where it is here. Okay, you don't want that one. No, you don't want that one. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. All right, the best place to be young, broke, and single, one of these cities. Is it Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, or Austin? Best place to be young, broke, and single. Milwaukee was number 14, by the way. Which is not bad.
What was the very last one?
Austin.
Oh.
Texas.
Well, that's like the Democratic hub of Texas, right? So they might be more generous there?
I didn't say that. I need to be writing in at this moment. Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, or Austin?
But they're very religious in Salt Lake City, so that might be good.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning Salt Lake, too.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Hey, come on. You're not up here. It's a lot of pressure. It's easy to groan, believe me.
Austin.
Especially my audience.
Austin.
You're saying Austin?
Yeah.
Best place to be young, broke, and single?
Yes.
Tom, you going to go with that?
Yes.
Yes, it is Austin or Milwaukee if you want number 14. Holy cow. A brilliant quiz.
Laura, you and a guest will enjoy comfort and tranquility with a one-night stay at the Hillcrest Hideaway Bed and Breakfast, located in southeastern Minnesota's scenic bluff country overlooking Lanesboro. Then get your message heard in a noisy world by reading Bang by Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Koval from Currency Paperbacks. Learn how entertainment industry careers were made long before the internet in David Renzin's The Mailroom, Hollywood History from the Bottom Up from Ballantine Books, and discover little-known politically incorrect facts about the people who shaped America's constitutional history in Robert Shankenberg's Secret Lives of the Supreme Court, What Your Teachers Never Told You About America's Legendary Justices from Quark Books. Tom, you can start summer days all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with a cup of Steep & Brew's breakfast blend and relax with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then proclaim your love of great beer, great food, and all things Southern by wearing a Lazy Magnolia t-shirt, Mississippi's oldest packaging brewery established in 2003. Enjoy the outrageous tall tales and witty stories of Bill Lepp, five-time champion of West Virginia's Liars Contest on the CD Punching the Lard from Buck Dog Records, and learn and laugh until the cows come home with What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books.
She should get one of those, too.
Can okay, you
that?
Can have one of those,
yeah,
too.
You need to have that.
Congratulations,
your next 14-hour trip.
That's right.
Thank you. You guys did a great job. Thanks, Laura. Tom, hang on for a second. I'll make sure you get all that stuff.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace next week for a live show. For ticket and guest information, click over to notmuch.com. Coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know, we herd goats in our place to be, plus another hilarious round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a kid-friendly place to be with goat farmer Jesse Johnson, plus our Town of the Week and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who's cautiously pessimistic. It's Michael Feldman.
And you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. That's right, it's time for thanks for the memos. And a couple of things here, too, as well. From this is after our lacrosse show. We got John Gibbs, known as Kickapoo John, sent us some of his lump grilling charcoal. And I thought I'd put in a plug for it because they called it the best ribs I've ever made at my house.
Oh, really? You used it?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
We were supposed to give it away, I guess, but instead I took it home and used it. Because I just now read this, it's a, you know, I'm going to give it away as a prize. But it was, you know, John, Kickapoo John, I want you to know, terrific stuff. Lump charcoal, he makes it in Gay's Mills over there on the west side of the state, and he sells it through natural food co-ops and so forth. But send us some more anytime, John, because the ribs were great. And I think it had to do with the lump that was not briquettes. It was actual wood lump.
Some kind of hardwood. That, yeah.
Some kind of a, yeah.
It burned.
It burned. Burned good. It burned good. And this was sent me. Dear Michael, I saw this article and thought of your show. My husband wonders if he should have been selected, but I'm sure these other men have important attributes. And it's from the Vernon County Broadcaster, which is in Westby, Wisconsin, or around there anyhow. Two Viroqua men were recognized at the East Central Select Sires Annual Awards Banquet on June 1st. Viroqua's Larry Krause was recognized with 25 years of lifetime service, and Viroqua's Ole Thompson, 5 years of service. The evening consisted of a social hour, dinner, a message from the board of directors, and presentation of the performance and service awards. So they were, I guess they were Mr. Sires. They were both selected as sires. Hillsborough's Joel Frankie was also recognized for two performance-based benchmarks for East Central Select Sires and a Lifetime Sires Achievement Award. East Central Select Sires is a professional artificial breeding cooperative serving dairy and livestock producers in southern Wisconsin. And I guess her husband just didn't have the stuff to compete with those guys. Well, they've been doing it for so long. So, but there's that. And here's the actual memo sent in by an actual listener, and it comes from somewhere. I guess we can say it comes from Utah. That's okay. It reads as follows. As everyone is well aware, the bathrooms are presently inoperable on the second floor. To accommodate those emergency needs, if no one can make it to the third, an emergency porta-potty has been set up for employees. Due to environmental health laws, Utah DWS Policy 7844568A12 requires mandatory training in usage of this device. Mandatory training will be at 2 and 2:30 today. Sign-up sheets can be found in Chris's office. Sean will be the trainer. He'll be providing a hands-on training in proper usage and etiquette. Don't be late. Once-in-a-lifetime experience. There you have it. Thanks for that experience. And for that memo. And where might they send those, Sarah?
People who have amusing memos like that can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's a snail mail option as well.
Okay, and if they want to do the, you mentioned earlier the...
The Twitters?
The Twitters escape,
yes.
Yeah?
Yep, they could tweet those memos to you.
Or could they also just read the tweets too as
yes.
well?
Yeah, you had a good one this week about defending marriages.
Really?
Yeah.
What did I say?
That yours may be indefensible.
Yes, okay. Finally recognized as indefensible, yeah. I think, after all these years.
Yeah, so your Twitter handle is @myfeldman.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, married with kids is one thing, but married with 33 kids, a little unusual. Only could happen, I think, in Sister Bay. We've got Jesse Johnson on the line now in Sister Bay to explain that they are goats. So it's not so bad as it sounds on the one hand. Hey, Jesse, how are you this morning?
Good, good. How are you?
I seem to hear goats.
Oh, they're good. Yeah. I just got to the barn here.
Yeah, you're in the barn with the goats.
Yeah, with the goats.
Yeah.
Can you hear them?
Yeah, yeah, we can hear them quite well. Thank you. They sound very much like goats.
And, yeah. Say hi, everyone. Say hi to Michael and National Public Radio.
So, are you associated with JJ's? Is that up there in the door?
Yep, my family's JJ's and Waterfront Restaurant and the Creamery, yep.
Oh, yeah, so all that stuff. Is everyone in your family a JJ? All the Johnsons?
All the boys are JJ's.
Yeah.
And I'm the only boy, so. Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. So, and I know there's a lot of Johnsons, so there's a possibility for some, you know, some other Johnsons creeping in there, but... So
yeah,
now these goats, I mean, was this just a whim that you decided to get, because you got married, right? But
we got married a couple of weeks ago, and we were in France about 10 years ago. I was cooking out there, and we had spent a couple of days in a farmstead out in the country, and I think that's when it all got ingrained.
Yeah. How does one get a job cooking in France over the summer? I mean, that's a pretty decent, I mean, that's a high-pressure job, isn't it?
Yeah, you pretty much just slave yourself out and take the beating, and they'll, you know, eventually talk to you.
Do you speak any French or?
Not really. Yeah, I just kind of smile and nod.
Yeah. And so did you walk in there with some Door County ways of cooking and impress the French with your cuisine?
No, you can't impress the French, I don't think.
Well, how did you get the gig? That's kind of amazing, actually, isn't it? You are a chef,
I
know.
I called around, you know, some restaurants emailed, said, I want to come and cook with you.
Oh, cool.
And eventually someone picked me up and spent a couple months out there cooking and came back, stole their ideas, and brought them back to us.
Yeah. And is that where this goat thing first hatched? If they hatch, I don't think they hatch, but I mean, you know, the scheme?
Yeah, that's what the goats, that's kind of when it all started. And then eventually one day we're just like, let's go get 10 goats. And now we have 54 of them.
Yeah. And you said that before you got married? Did she know she was marrying into goats?
She did, but, you know, they just kept exponentially producing.
Yeah, as goats will, I guess. Before this, had you had any experience with goats or with cheese or with goat milk?
No, not at all. Yeah. We just did a lot of reading and, you know, try to keep them healthy and happy, and so far, so good.
Yeah. And what type of goats do you have now? Is it more than one type?
The floppy-eared goats, which are Nubians. And then the no-eared goats are the La Manchas.
Okay.
And the reason behind that was the Nubians produce a little higher butterfat milk, and the La Manchas produce a little more milk, and so we're trying to create a super goat of higher butterfat and more production.
Yeah. Are you actually going to breed these goats, or are you going to just mix their milk, which would be easier, I think?
Yeah, we breed them together, and some we keep purebred, and some we don't, and we just kind of do their own thing.
Yeah. Are the Nubians considered the elitists of the goat world?
I think they think they're the elitists. You know, they're the noisiest. They're pretty proud goats, and they'll let you know it.
Yeah. Is this at all a stress on a new marriage to have, 50 goats?
It's definitely a learning curve, I would say. But, you know, you spend a day out with them, it's all worth it.
Yeah. And your wife feels the same way?
Most of the time, yeah.
Rachel, yeah. Most of the time, okay. This is more or less your dream.
No, we started this together, and we love it. You know, it's great. Right now, everything's just kind of culminating together, and hopefully one day we'll have a routine.
Yeah. Do you think you'll have kids of your own?
Oh, probably. You know, we'll just kind of fence them all in together.
Okay, we got to talk sometime, I think. And I noticed that you named them. Is that a good idea to name, you know, because they are farm animals?
Well, we named the girls,
yeah.
And I think that helps us, you know, take care of them a little better. But the boys, they don't get names. They get shipped back out to France, usually after a couple months after they're born.
Yeah, what happens to them in France? They get... Restaurant jobs?
Yeah. Yeah, we say we're sending them to Europe. We try not to use some of the words around them that they're a little sensitive.
Yeah. Do they ever get your goat? I mean, they're intense, right? Goats. I mean, you gotta look after them.
Yeah. Yeah. They need a lot of care.
Yeah. Do you have to get up early to milk a goat, or is that just cows?
Yeah, we get up. We milk at 6 and 6 every day.
Uh-huh.
And then, chill the milk and store it, and then we bring it down to the creamery and cans, and then we make cheese that day.
So the male, why are the males there even?
The males are just kind of a
company?
Byproduct.
Oh,
we keep the really good breeding stock, or we try to sell them, you know, to other breeders that might want to include a new lineage into their herd.
Yeah. But you don't have a background in all this. I mean, do you sort of figure out how to breed them and all that, or is that just second nature to a guy out in Door County?
Yeah, they just kind of know. You know, we know, they know, we just kind of keep it at that.
Is it harder than dealing with the French, or not?
Well, the communication, you know, barrier is about the same, so
that's,
you know, it's going to work.
Yeah, and then the cheese making, I mean, that's another whole ball of wax, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's been, you know, you probably spend a lifetime trying to learn how to make cheese, and you'll never really get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's every cheese in the world has, you know, the same 4 ingredients mostly, and you have a million different types of cheeses.
Yeah. And do you get the rennet from the goats as well? Is that where it comes from?
The rennet does come from goats. Yeah. We buy, you know, the rennet already ready. But I remember seeing an ad of how to, you know, fabricate your own rennet. But I think it's a little gory process.
Yeah, and the guys pay the price for that too, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, the male goats. At least they make a contribution. So, I mean, like cheese making is a lifetime process, but so how are you learning, just by feel or?
Well, I spent some time apprenticing down actually in Madison at Babcock Dairy with Gary Grossen.
Oh, you did.
He was one of my beginning cheese mentors, and also at Dream Farm out in Cross Plains. And she had a small goat herd, kind of like ours, just a farmstead creamery operation, and I spent some time with her making some cheese and learned some basics and come back, and now we're just creating our own cheese, our own recipes, and developing from those.
You're cranking it out now. And how are the are the results good? Are you pleased?
Oh, results have been great. Yeah. You know, it's everyone who's tried it, you know, has been really open and really good feedback, so we're just going to go with that.
And then you'll be entering these competitions, I suppose, you know, the cheese contests and...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, and just it's just good to see and get people's input and, you know, what they want to taste.
Yeah, and are you're doing all this and keeping your restaurant job as well?
Yeah, also still the chef at the waterfront, and so I'm milking, you know, goats in the morning, and then we're making cheese, and then we're going back to the restaurant at night. But I have, you know, a great staff, and everyone's real knowledgeable and passionate about what they do, and it makes our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, you're like a Renaissance man and woman.
And woman, yes.
Yes, a Renaissance couple. Well, that's fantastic. It's great, and you're getting a lot of press, I see now, and... milking the does. You know, one thing I'm curious about, the names for the various animals. Now, what are they called exactly?
Well, I mean, we have Stella and Patience.
No, I don't mean their names. I mean their names for the types of goats or for the age of them. How does that work with goats?
So, the kids are, you know, usually the firstborn, all kids, and then we call the dolings.
Dolings, that's what I said.
Dolings, yep.
A little
and
doe is
buckling.
A
buckling.
And a buckling?
Yeah, they just kind of, they add like the ings at the end of everything.
Well, that's not so hard. I thought it was harder than that.
Yeah, then the regular bucks, the regular does. So it kind of makes it easy for everyone.
Yeah. You think your cheese might get back to France?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I'd like to send them some cheese over there and... you know, see what they think. They all started down there, you know. I loved goat cheese. I love French goat cheese, French style, European style goat cheeses. And, you know, maybe a little nod would be nice from them.
Yeah. You deserve that much. After slaving yourself. Jesse, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy with all the goats and everything going on there. But Jesse Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, from Sister Bay, the Creamery, is a place to look when you're up in Sister Bay. Best to you and Rachel as well. Thanks, Jesse.
Great. Thank you. Pleasure.
Back to the kids. The kids are out there. Newlyweds happy raising goats, making cheese. Isn't that sweet? It's kind of a sweet story.
I love goat cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just getting hungry thinking about it.
Makes you hungry, don't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then, can you play something? Are you too hungry to play something?
I don't know if we can concentrate. I'll try. This is called Mellow Mood.
Mellow.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
How about you? Oh, yeah. How about it for this half of the room? Yeah. You guys are good too. Come on. I don't want to see rheumism. Rheumism is a terrible thing. Now that obesity is a disease, does that mean I can call in sick every day? I love that. Okay. When should I change my snow tires? Soon, I think. I actually just changed mine a couple of weeks ago, but you know, the car rides a lot different, actually, when you take them. It was a shocker. You know, I don't feel like I'm plowing, you know, like I'm like a tractor. So I would think about that. Rick, where's Rick? Rich or Morris? You know who you are. That's you right. Still got them on?
Yesterday I took them off.
Yesterday you took them off. Okay, different, isn't it? Different ride?
It's sort of nice.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Matt Hood is between jobs. Should I shave for my family reunion, says here. And Andrea Welch says, should Matt shave for his family reunion? So there's a lot of interest in there. Where is Matt? He looks like he shaved. Did he not shave? Let's take a look at Matt a little closer. I can't see anything from here. A little stubble, perhaps. You can stand up, Matt, and let's have a look at you. I think he must have shaved. Wait. Okay, let's talk to Matt. Pardon me. Is this the Matt, the right Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I can see now a little stubble.
A little stubble, yeah, but it's
just about to go for it.
As I get older.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen to me. No. You got to take Just for Men and rub it on your face every so often. My secret.
55-gallon drum, I suspect.
But that's like maybe one day or two. That's all.
No, I just shaved at 6 o'clock this morning.
So you got a heavy growth type person.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously.
You ever had a beard?
No. My wife doesn't like it.
Okay. So this is just to get back at her a little bit, right?
I don't know. When I get home, I'll ask her.
are you the person?
Yes, I'm the person.
I thought that wife. Okay, and you think you should?
He says he's Clooney-esque at this point, so that works for me.
Yeah, like a lot of young guys now, how do they get those short beards like that? They're like, you know, it's from not shaving, I presume.
It's actually more work, I think, than just shaving.
Yeah, you got to keep them at that length, and how do they do that?
Do I look young?
No, I'm just wondering. I was just talking, man. I'm trying to make conversation. I'm stuck here talking about your damn beard, and I don't know what... What am I going
to
do with that?
It's nothing to be you.
Well, just turn around. Let's face the audience that side there and this side here. What do you think? Shave?
No.
No shave?
Leave it.
Don't bother.
Good, because I lost my razor.
Nice to meet you, though, man. It looks fine. It's fine. Makes you look a little manly. Manly. Okay, he's fine. We got the Hose King here. I'm pretty excited about that, from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. The Hose King. I hope this is what I think it is and not what I think it is. Where is the Hose King? John Eaton, the Hose King, all the way down there. Okay, let's see if I can get over to the Hose King. And let's hope for a good arrival when I get there. We've never actually had a Hose King on the show, or even anything close. A Hose Prince, for example, or a Princeling. The Hose King. There he is, the Hose King. Can I guess you, why don't you come up over here? Can you meet me halfway? Well, let's find out about this. I assume you're in the...
My wife's in the fetal position.
Yeah, okay. But you're not, so I can talk to you. You're in the hose business, then?
I am. Okay. I am, or was.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 25 years ago, my wife gave me a pen and pencil set inscribed on it, Hose King. I ended up with license plates, Hose King.
Hose King license plates?
Yeah.
Kentucky plates?
No, these are Ohio plates.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Was there any reason for the fact that she gave you the Hose King, or is that a personal thing?
I ended up with a business that was in hose.
Based on the pen?
Based on the pen.
Crazy. This is crazy, John.
No, not really based on the pen.
No.
I was unemployed.
So you had the hose first?
I had the hose first.
Okay.
And the hose is... Industrial hose.
Industrial, naturally.
And hydraulic hose.
Hydraulic hose.
Yep.
Good business.
Excellent business.
You always need hose in hydraulics.
That's right. That's
no
right.
Hydraulics without hose.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Yep. And
you were the guy who brought the hose. hydraulics.
They brought the hose.
They put the hose in hydraulics.
Yep, we had a lot of hose. Sold a lot of hose.
Could you estimate in over the years how many feet of hose you might have sold?
Oh, probably 40,000 feet.
40,000 feet. That's a couple of miles.
That's it. Yeah. Yep. We bought it by
containers. And we're talking high-quality hose.
High-quality hose. Hydraulic hose, industrial hose, garden hose.
Any kind of hose, really.
Any hose.
So that's why you're the hose king.
That's it.
Because any kind of hose your hose desires.
That's it. That's it.
Or your nozzle desires, whatever. Or your connector. Whatever you use. You'd probably have connectors more than
that. That's it. Nozzles. Very good. Thanks.
Are you out of the hose business now?
I retired 3 years ago.
But you still claim the title of hose king? You know, that last...
Certainly. I had to give my license plates away, though. Yeah.
What does it say on your plates now?
Nothing.
Not number, not letters, nothing?
Numbers and letters. Yep.
That's it. The former host king, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good to meet you, man. John Eaton, Fort Thomas, Kentucky. The host king. Only here on What Do You Know? In Madison, how do you differentiate between homeless people and hipsters who just look like homeless people? I treat them all the same way. Just avoid them. I'd rather avoid the hipsters, to tell you the truth. Where is Max Hamilton? Are you running into a lot of hipsters and homeless people, Max?
I'm running into one of them.
What, you did?
At least one of them.
At least one. And which was it?
Which one they are.
Oh, okay. And you don't have that back in Harrisonburg, VA?
Not as much.
Are you okay? Were you... It's ironic and cool. Well, here, it's ironic and cool to be homeless. That's just the way we are. So that's a little different altogether. So we don't differentiate between the homeless and the hip. Okay? It's just here. It's just us, I'm saying. That's okay. Virginia, I'm sure you got your own things that we find unusual. Okay? You're okay with it? You don't feel threatened by it or anything? Threatened by the hip? Okay. What's your view of the practice of politicians making educational policies? I'm against it. I don't think educators should make them either, though. I don't think we should make policy in education. Okay. Laissez-faire, I think, education speaks for itself. Did anybody ever tell you you have a face for radio? No. I've never heard that. What, Jeff, where's Jeff Lyons? What do you even mean by that, Jeff? A face for radio. Wait a second. Pardon me. Come on. Aubrey's got this camera he keeps following me with. I don't know why. Part of the NSA, I think. Yes, what?
You're going to have to determine whether I look honest or not, because I said that to my buddy two seats down this morning, and he put my name on that card. His name's Gerard Mikus, by the way.
You don't think I have a face for radio? It's a compliment, isn't it?
You have a wonderful face.
Do you really mean it?
I'm serious. Go two seats down, and this guy will have a good answer.
This is the guy who wrote it here? You could be on radio, man.
Nope.
Come on. Can I get you to stand up for just a second? I'll stand up here. What's your name?
Gerard Mikus.
Gerard?
Yes.
Have you ever thought of doing radio?
No, I haven't. But one thing I have come to realize is that based on you having us rehearse and doing the gesturing to the response, I don't think you quite understand the base difference between TV and radio.
And what is that? You mean there is one?
People on the radio can't see this.
Can't see what? I'm sorry, what is it they can't see on the radio? I don't get that.
See, he really doesn't understand.
No, I don't get the basic facts. Thank you very much for pointing it out to me, though. There's something that people can't see on the radio. So, okay. Oh, and here we gotta do this. Kent Merman.
Here.
What are we in school? What? Who invented the famous walleye secret weapon? Come over here and meet me down here, would you? Because it's the same distance, and it'll be equidistant at that point. And we should meet at this row here. Perfect. The walleye secret weapon?
My Uncle Fred.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, you were saying your Uncle Fred.
My Uncle Fred Merman lived in Minneapolis and was an inveterate fisherman. Okay. He also invented a hook extractor, which is flawless in extracting hooks from one of fish's...
Fingers and fish?
Just from the fish's throat when they swallow the hook. And he was an industrial elevator operator in a large building that was like a warehouse for the garment industry. And that's that.
Well, is that the walleye secret weapon?
The walleye secret weapon is what he invented.
And the hook extractor?
And also the hook extractor, two different inventions.
Well, can you explain to me what the walleye secret weapon
is? Well, it was a contraption of swivels and spinners and hooks that he felt was very successful in catching walleyes. And he had them produced, and when I went up to visit him, he had several gross of them up in the attic that never sold.
Did you ever go out with one of these?
Yeah.
Were they called the walleye super?
It was really called walleye secret weapon.
Okay.
And it came in a nice box and everything. So.
Did you ever use one? Did you ever go out there with them?
And I used one, but I never got the hang of it. I think that was the secret part. It was very hard. It was very hard to get. You had to spend a lot of time out on the lake to catch.
Was there more than one line? I mean, you have to like a pantomime or a ventriloquist or whatever they call those, marionette.
No, it was just the one I used was for. I was younger. It was just one line. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had no luck with it.
No luck.
Are they still in the attic? They'd be kind of cool to see one.
I think that he distributed them to all his nephews and nieces and cousins and brothers at some point after he figured out that he wasn't going to sell very many of them. But he could make them work, you know.
And so he got quite a few walleyes using them.
He had pictures of him with, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 walleyes hanging on a string up by the lake. Yeah. He and his brothers.
Did they look like they were frozen by any chance?
No, this was the real thing. You know, they caught all they could possibly carry back. You know.
The walleye secret weapon. Thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome.
His Uncle Fred is the answer to that question. That's pretty cool. See what you learn? If you ask, you just have to ask. Okay, are these the people? I have a card from, let's see. We got the Bonkowskis. It's the Bonkowski family, ladies and gentlemen, from Green Bay. Let's pay a tribute. Are you all Bonkowskis?
I'm assumed to be Bonkowski.
Which Bonkowski are you marrying?
This one. Just
Joe Bonkowski.
Joe
nice.
Bonkowski, okay. And so you will be...
Sarah Bonkowski, eventually.
Yeah, what are you right now?
Sarah Slezarek.
Okay. Trade-off. It's a trade-off. Bonkowski. Pretty close, good. And which Bonkowski are you?
I'm Richard Bonkowski.
You are the pater?
I'm the patron.
Pater Bonkowski, and then we have some young Bonkowskis, and you are, dear?
Emily Bonkowski.
Thank you, dear, and you're?
Janet.
And Max Bonkowski.
Max. How you doing, Max? Packer fan, are you? Yes. Do you get to go to the games?
No.
Oh, okay. It's right next to you, you know, that big stadium with all people cheering and all that.
Maybe this year.
Really? Are you just saying that? You can't lead them on with that.
Maybe this year. We're working on the ticket situation.
Maybe this year or maybe next year all my life. I never. Let's see what we got here from the Bonkowskis. Do you have any pets, Emily? Do you have a pet, Emily?
Kitty. Yeah. What? A kitty and a guinea pig.
Kitty and a guinea pig, do they get along? Is kind of a dangerous word with those. I mean, the cat does it like the guinea pig or?
No.
I have a puggle. I'm down to a puggle.
What's a puggle?
Puggle is half pug and half bull. No, it's half beagle. And you never know which half you're getting. That's the problem with Tina. So they're cute. They're like little puggles and little short legs and kind of sausage bodies. You'd like a puggle. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
What was yours?
Have you ever been to Green Bay?
Yes, I've been to Green Bay many times. Always enjoyed it.
Yeah. What did you do there?
I went to some Packer games, and I just, you know, we've done some shows up in Green Bay, so I've been around. Your mom is telling you what to say. I don't know if I like it.
Do you have any tickets?
You're a good man, Max. I see you. Thanks, Emily. Thanks, the Bunkowskis. What do we have for the Bunkowskis making the trip all the way here to be on our show?
There is a game that they could all play together.
What?
What do you know, the party game?
That okay.
Comes with cards, scoring chips, card trays, summertime, fresh Michael Feldman bobblehead, all from Out of the Box Publishing.
Okay, not a Packer game, but it's something. The Bunkowskis. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Yes, we are. And, yes, good timing. And you saw what happened the first time. Doesn't mean it'll happen again. Could be fantastic for you. Your chance to win back something for all those years you had to stay in school and, you know, graduate school and various kinds of technical training. That's right, the What Do You Know quiz. So let's see some enthusiasm. Now, I know there's some in here. Say, I can do that. I need to play a quiz. This gentleman here, for example, says, gosh darn it, I can play that quiz. You're a good man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you are?
Seth Trotter.
Seth?
Yes.
Are you from around here, Seth? Or?
From Columbia, Missouri.
Columbia, Missouri. Beautiful Columbia, Missouri. We've been there. Very nice. What do you do over there in Columbia?
I'm a social studies teacher.
Oh, you are? Yes. Seth, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I haven't been fired by the Food Network this week.
Hasn't been fired by the Food Network. Walmart still kept you. Still got the Walmart thing going. He's got the cookware going on the HSN. He's got it all going for him right here. All right, Seth. Social studies.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little nerve-wracking all of a sudden. Well, I wasn't so nervous earlier.
It's nothing. You're a teacher.
Yeah, I know.
Just put on your teacher thing.
Sure.
Whatever that is. Pretend like you know everything. You know, mm-hmm.
I do that as a teacher, yes. That's my specialty.
I know. Don't you hate it when you have kids who are smarter than you, though? I mean, I taught English for a long time.
I tell them I'll get back to them on that one, and then I look it up on the internet.
Yeah, do you? Oh, yeah. See, now you got the internet. That's the thing. But, when I taught English, you make a mistake on the board, spelling or definition, or really get something totally wrong, and some smart kid there tells you that.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing, you know. I forget what I used to say. I say it was, you know, typo or something.
Yeah.
I really made a typo on the board. And social studies, they still call it that, huh?
Yeah. I've been doing, like, a world cultures, but I'm moving up to eighth grade. I'm graduating finally, and it's American history. So
American history.
Yes.
Social studies. Mm-hmm. It never made any sense to me, the phrase.
No.
It was social science in some places.
Sometimes I call it social sciences.
Yeah. Yeah. Where does the social come in?
It's people. It's people. All about people. That's what I always tell the kids. Because they don't understand either.
Yeah. So that's cool. And what are we discussing right now in social studies or American history?
I have to start back with basically people coming here. You know, the ones that we talk about. You
know, yeah.
Not the real way people got here. Like the land bridge theory, stuff like
I'm just trying to figure out what you're saying.
You know, white people coming here.
So the arrival of white people.
Yes.
Okay, how's that going so far?
We haven't got, the school year's not, you know, in session.
So. Oh, it isn't?
No. No.
Oh, no, it's summer, isn't it?
It is. So I haven't talked about any of that yet.
Oh.
I'm kind of a little behind at this point. Switching curriculum.
Yeah. Adjustment. Do you always start with the arrival of white people?
I think what I'm supposed to start with. Again, I'm switching from 7th grade to 8th grade, so it's new for me.
Okay. Is that Missouri law? You have to start with arrival of white people?
I think so, probably. It's Missouri.
Okay, well, I don't want to get into this too deeply.
Yeah,
that's
sorry. I'm not originally from
Missouri.
Do you
do ever, like, the rival Jewish people? I mean, do you go by
I don't.
Ethnic group?
I haven't looked in that
rival
deeply.
Rival the Jews in America?
I have not looked that deeply yet.
Okay. I can help you out there.
Okay.
Give me a call when you get the rival of our four Jews, we call them.
Yeah.
The four Jews of America.
Okay.
There were four of them. There were the Bronsteins. There were the Goldsteins.
Can I look this up
on
the internet?
No. Okay. And so what are we doing now, on vacation or traveling?
On vacation, my wife and I and our two friends left our four children at home, combined four children. I mean, they're not.
Did you leave them with anybody?
Yes, we did. We left with grandparents in both cases. So, and came up here for vacation and to hang out and check out Madison.
Yeah. So what are you doing, a little fishing or water parking?
Well, we went down to New Glarus yesterday, checked out that.
Just the brewery?
Eating, shopping.
Yeah.
Having a few beverages, those types of things. Yeah.
That's cool. So this is like an adult vacation.
Adult vacation, yes.
What a cool idea.
Exactly.
I've never had one
of
those.
We can complete a conversation without being interrupted. It's been nice.
Yeah. Or just by one another, I suppose.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's normal. Yeah. It's normal behavior. Yeah. So, all right. So you went to the brewery there in New Glarus, and then where'd you go before that?
We actually went on a little walking tour of downtown with one of our Stephanie. Her uncle lives here, so we've been getting a lot of advice from her uncle. So.
Of Madison.
Yes.
And then where do you head from here?
Well, I don't know what we're doing this afternoon, but we're heading home tomorrow morning. So soon. Yeah. We've been here since Wednesday night. Missed all the flooding. So that's good.
You missed the flooding. Okay. Well, that sounds like fun. Some out there plays. You know how this quiz works.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a pop quiz. Some out there plays along with you. And how does that work, Sarah?
Now, people who want to play along, pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. Where is pretty much the only place a garage sale is called a rummage sale? There is one state in particular. Possibly two. But really one state in particular where a garage sale is called a rummage sale in the entire country. So this should be easy for everybody. Ed's on the phone from Milton, Wisconsin. Hey, Ed.
Hi.
Did you ever hear about that walleye thing?
No, I haven't.
You know, the walleye, super walleye, what's it called again? Walleye super weapon? I can sell you one maybe if you like. If you're interested, we got some.
Maybe.
Did you ever fish for walleye?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's not
bluegill. Bluegill and some bass.
Bluegill, yeah. They're hard to, you know, you got to clean a lot of them, though, you know? Bluegill?
Yeah, that's kind of the downside.
Yeah. So, Ed, what's pretty much the only place a garage sale is called a rummage sale in the entire country?
Well, I see a lot of signs for rummage sales around here, so probably Wisconsin?
No, it's not here. You don't see those.
Maybe just in Milton.
You've never seen it. In Milton, maybe. And that could be an anomaly, though.
Could be.
Yeah. Sorry, Ed. Accept that. We can't accept Milton as an answer.
I knew the first quiz. The answer for the first quiz. Does that count for anything?
Well, let's go back in time and see if you can get that. Sorry, Ed. Come on.
All right.
Give me a break here. Bye. Warren is in Minnesota there. Hey, Warren.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just here.
Just here? Or just barely or what?
Just barely.
Yeah. That's okay, though. Better than not, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah. What you going to do this afternoon? Anything?
Well, could take my grandkid's dog out for a walk.
Really? What kind of dog is it?
It's a beagle pug mix.
Beagle pug. So it's a puggle.
Yeah, it's a beagle pug.
It's a puggle.
It's a puggle.
A beagle pug. I never heard him call that. That's what I have. I have a puggle.
I prefer the beagle to the puggle, so...
The beagle to the pug?
Yeah.
Well, which comes first?
It's not my dog. It's not my dog anyway, so
yeah,
it
you don't care. Yeah. So yeah, it's more of a beagle than a pug, would you say?
Yeah, because his nose will get him in trouble.
There's a lesson in that somewhere, Warren. I don't know what it is. Here, let me ask you this then: what's pretty much the only place a garage sale in the whole country is called a rummage sale? State.
Well. I'm not for sure, but I'd have to say Washington, D.C.
Is that some kind of a political joke or what?
Aren't we all just rummaging for something for them to do?
Okay. Warren, I have to let you go and take that dog because he's scratching at the door now. I can see it.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye. Robert's in Hawthorne, Wisconsin. Hey, Robert.
How are you?
I'm good. Where is Hawthorne, Wisconsin? I should know that, but
Hawthorne's in Douglas County, just south of Superior on 53.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, you're up there. How's the weather up there?
It's rainy and buggy.
Yeah. Pretty much the way it's been?
Yeah, I've been here a month this year, and it's been raining, and mosquitoes and ticks are terrible.
Yeah. Are you up in your cabin there? Or?
Absolutely. Off-grid.
Oh, okay. And so are you just staying inside?
Trying to, but I got a lot of stuff to do outside.
Got to fish through the window. That's kind of a drag. Have you got a screen porch at least?
No, but I do have screens on my windows, but they don't seem to do much good.
No, they don't. They can get through them, those little buggers.
I think they're porting by the door waiting for me to open the door.
I think so, yeah. That's true. Any door open, they see that immediately. Robert, the only place in the country a garage sale is called a rummage sale.
Well, I'm going to have to take a guess at that, but I do know who, not who Sweepy's father is, but who Sweepy's mother is. I know her name. I'll tell you that in a minute. I'll guess Georgia as the rummage sale question.
Well, that's wrong. But who is Sweet Pea's mother?
It's Olive Oil's sister, Castor.
Well, I guess we can give him that for the cast. Yes, Seth, you're absolutely right. It's Castor Oil. Seth, we're not going to get this anyhow, Robert, so I think it'll give you something to do up there while you're you have to stay inside your cabin. It's South Dakota, by the way.
Very good.
And just a little bit of Kansas, I think. Okay, but who's going to see that? Castor Oil is much more important. Robert, this is Seth.
Hello, Robert.
Hi, Seth.
He teaches high school social studies. So he's a good guy to have on with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you do when you're not in Hawthorne vacationing?
I install window film as a contractor.
Oh, you do? Okay. Where do you do that from?
I was in Australia this year, Europe last year, and California. So one job in Wisconsin last year.
Oh, so being holed up in Hawthorne is quite a treat for you.
Exactly.
Okay, you guys are a team, Robert and Seth. We have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
Yep, they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Okay, Robert, what would you like?
Science.
Castor Oil. Yeah, I seem to remember Castor Oil, actually. Very good. Did you watch a lot of those cartoons?
I found that out, I think, on an NPR quiz show, different show a long time ago, but not that long ago.
It wasn't Wait, Don't Tell Me, because I'll take this all back.
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Oh, God. Okay, the first autopilot cockroaches. They have them now. Cockroaches that are controlled by controllers. They're on autopilot. You can make them do whatever you want. Run down the drain, run up the drain. It's amazing. Anyhow, they have the first autopilot cockroaches. Do they use Kinect, Wii, or Game Boy controllers? This is science, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a gamer.
Okay.
So it's up to you, bud.
Wii would be my guess, or
yeah. Then you wave them around and
possibly
roaches.
I'm not familiar with Kinect, and Game Boy is when I was like 12, so yeah. I don't know much about Game Boy anymore. So I'd say Wii.
You want to weigh in on this, Robert? Or Wii in on this?
I'll go with Wii.
No, I'm sorry. It's a Kinect. It was a big made news all over now. Kinect. You can use your Kinect controller to program cockroaches now. Gamers are real excited about
that. Are
these
live cockroaches?
Yes.
I'm very confused.
Okay.
That is.
You can be, really. Okay. All right. That's all right. Yes. Not wrong.
Nope.
Okay.
Anyhow, you did have one wrong and no right. And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
I thought it was a big news story. I read it all.
I'll go with things you should have learned in school.
Things you should learn in school. Okay, you should get this one easy.
I hope.
Can plants do math?
I'd lean toward no.
It's a surprising question.
Yeah.
Can plants do math?
I'd say probably yes.
In other words, do actually calculations in some sort.
I know they can do a lot of things that we don't understand.
That's certainly true, Robert.
I'm lost on this one, Robert. You can go ahead and...
It's not your
choose.
Department, really.
Yeah, I don't do science. This sounds sciencey and math.
Do you hang around with those guys?
I try not to talk to them.
In the lounge, nothing? No. You have to coach, don't you, as a social studies teacher, pretty much?
I have. I currently don't, though.
Okay, I thought it was required.
It usually is.
Okay, so can plants do math?
I say yes.
We'll go with yes.
Yes, they can. They can figure out how much starch they have left to last till dawn. And they actually are able to compute that. It's just a simple math skill. Anybody can do it.
That's one right and one wrong.
Yes.
And the categories that are left are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Robert?
People.
Okay, people. So how much longer you got to be holed up there, Robert?
A couple more weeks, I think. A
couple more weeks in staying inside, trying to avoid the black flies? And...
No, I'm going outside just in brief moments with lots of bug spray and candles burning, citronella.
Yeah. And then what are you going to do when you're out there? Are you...
Oh, I'm working on cars, working on my cabin, working on my motorcycle, boats, name it. I got all kinds of toys here that need repair.
Okay. Do older Americans, that means Americans older than me, have more trouble finding their keys or remembering their passwords?
I think passwords.
Yeah, I go with passwords.
Passwords is right, yes. Keys are also a problem. 36% to 32%, so they're both problems, let's face it. Remembering their children's names, that becomes a problem as well. And
that's two right and one wrong. And the categories that are left are current events, places, or odds and ends.
I mix up my children all the time now. I mean, I know their names, but I just don't get them right with the right kids.
I'll go with places.
Places, okay. Places is good. The British Royal Officer's Naval Toast. No, you don't want that. That's not going to work with you guys. All right. So far in 2013, the most visited city in the world, is it Bangkok, London, or Paris? Most visited city in the world so far in 2013. Mm-hmm. Of course, since the Hangover movie was in Bangkok, that might have stirred some interest.
Yeah, if it was last year, I'd say London, of course, for the Olympics, where I worked on one of the venues.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Cool.
I've only been to one of those three places, so I'd say Paris.
Been to Paris?
But that's a guess. Okay. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I haven't been to Paris, but...
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
Yeah.
Pretty hot, actually, right now. Well, they got that tour.
Yeah, good point. So tour to Paris France probably is.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give a shot.
I'll go
Paris.
With that.
Bangkok is an exotic place.
Well, then maybe
what are you saying? What?
Bangkok sounds lovely, too.
Black flies are bad, though, in Bangkok. The size of sparrows. They're the size of sparrows.
Well, then London perhaps has a hangover from the Olympics of people visiting there.
Are people going to London as much as they used to? Anybody here been to London recently? I don't know. Yeah, not as much as you used to, though, I bet, huh? Used to go more often, did you? London? England?
One guy. There's one guy.
Yeah, you were there once. Just the one time?
No, I was there. I was there twice.
Oh, you were there twice. Okay, yeah.
This year?
No, not this year.
Ever been to Bangkok? Ever been to Bangkok?
Never.
At all curious? Okay. So what do you say, gentlemen? Bangkok, London, or Paris?
must be Bangkok.
Bangkok sounds good, yes.
Yes, Bangkok. Isn't that amazing? People are going to Bangkok. They're tired of London and Paris. Seen it, been there, done that. Same old, but Bangkok is a very fascinating city, looks like to me. Have you been there to Bangkok?
I have not, actually.
Yeah, sounds great, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what have they won?
Well, Seth, you can practice good oral hygiene and satisfy your cured meat cravings at the same time with bacon-flavored toothpaste. Makes your breath bacon fresh from ThinkGeek.com. Robert, from Mr. Wizard and Ronald Reagan to Teflon and Superglue, you'll find them all in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can take the What Do You Know? Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter to the bank and watch its interest grow in a second quarter century of comedy, and keep everything in high spirits playing What Do You Know? The Party Game, including the matchless Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com.
Wow, you guys scored all
our good stuff. Congratulations
to you
both.
Yeah, the bacon, that's exciting.
Yeah, oh, the bacon. I'm talking about my book. Thanks, Seth. Good to see you. Nice job. Robert, hang on. Make sure you get that.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Stay indoors.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
What? Was there something you had to say?
No.
No, okay. Well, you know, each week this time, we honor a town, village, or burg. That's right. It's time once again for Town of the Week. Sarah, you got to get your iPad out there.
I do.
She's got it on her iPad. Here's our Town of the Week.
Yep.
With Sarah Nix.
Sparta, Georgia is the seat of Hancock County. It's the old cotton plantation region of Central Georgia.
Central Georgia.
Charles Abercrombie laid out the town from his plantation in 1795. Before the Civil War, Hancock County was a lead cotton producer, and the plantation wealth made Sparta one of only five towns in Georgia to have a newspaper in the early 1800s. Huh. The cotton farming continued after the Civil War. One of the wealthiest planters in the area, David Dixon, broke with tradition and left his estate to his mixed-race daughter. Mm-hmm. By the time she died in 1893, Amanda American Dixon was considered the richest African-American woman in the country. Hmm. The town grew through the early 1900s as banks, warehouses, cotton gins, and a textile mill went up. Telephones, electricity, and municipal water also went in the early new century. Hmm. But the cotton crash of 1918 sent Sparta's economy into a depression that lasted for decades. Hmm. Sparta remains a small town today with a population of about 1,400 people. Oh. Much of the local economy depends on the state prison. Professional boxer Tommy Hurricane Jackson was from Sparta. Identical twins and pro basketball players Harvey and Horace Grant come from Sparta. A stint as the substitute principal at Sparta's industrial school inspired Jen Toomer's classic novel, Kane. Sparta is in a beautiful part of Georgia, with scenic routes running through the hills. It's also a popular destination for deer hunters. Oh. If you're looking for some local sports, check out the Hancock Central High Bulldogs. And that's our Town of the Week. It's Sparta, Georgia.
Sparta, Georgia. Town of the Week. Thank you very much, Sarah. And Lyle is frantically, I don't think he counted on this, dialing right now looking for a Feldman somewhere in Sparta, Georgia. 1,400 people. There must be one Feldman, one would think.
I did think it was interesting that yes. There were identical twins who were both pro basketball players. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Oh, okay.
Them.
And who were they again?
Harvey and Horace Grant.
You know the Grants? Yes. What do you know about the guy? Can you?
Well, Horace Grant played for the Bulls in a couple of their championship runs.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And his brother?
And Harvey, I don't know who he played for. Well, I think the at the time they were called the Bullets. I think he played for them. I don't know who else.
In Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Horace Grant, yeah, he was big Bulls guy.
So this was back in maybe in the 80s,
90s? 90s.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. And they were they Hornets? You said the Hornets of the...
Oh, no, they were Bulldogs.
They were Bulldogs. Yeah. The Bulldogs. You didn't say Hornets.
No, I did not. No, I did not mention nary a Hornet.
Yeah. Okay, Lyle.
I can see Lyle frantically talking very quickly there.
I know. We should have told him we were doing this.
And gesturing.
Who knew?
He's gesturing with his hands.
You never know when a time of the week will come up.
Trying to reach a Feldman in a community of 1,400.
Yeah. So far it says no one is at home. So they're out doing something. And that is our Town of the Week, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Sparta, Georgia.
Sparta, Georgia. Okay, if we get someone, we'll come back.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Very special thanks to our guests, Tom Bennett and Jesse Johnson. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.